Covering the crew all season long, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from American Family Field, here's your host, Bob Brainerd.
Well, that was fun, wasn't it, Brewer fans? 13 runs on 15 hits is always fun, especially when the Diamondbacks get just 2 runs on 3 base hits. Good pitching. Timely, and lots of timely hitting in this one as Milwaukee takes the first of this 3-game set against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Bob Brainerd in on a Tuesday night here at American Family Field. In for Dom on a Tuesday night. Joined from the TV side, joining me on the radio side is my good friend Craig Gashon. And Craig, not only a good and fun win, but getting it done in what, you know, we're used to seeing this from the Brewers, right? Yes, we'll talk about the home run, getting off the schneid there with the Sal Frelick home run. But what they did the rest of this ball game is typical Brewer baseball. They just went out and executed like we're all used to seeing them string hits and runs together.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, that's their brand of baseball right now. That's how they get the majority of their work done on offense. I think we're all well aware of that now. And I think we're all well aware of, you know, after the first 2 games of the season, there was no consistency in that whatsoever. You know, you can blame the injuries or you can blame some of the guys that were, you know, just the efforts that were there in successful efforts early this season that they're still searching for here right now. The reinforcements are on the way, but it's still going to be a while before the Brewers get a lot of those familiar faces back and the big bats and whatnot. But it's important for the guys who are wearing the uniform here right now to have nights like this. And you hope for some more of it, but really the only thing you should be hoping for more now is just bearing down and continuing to grind out these close games they've been in and get some victories. A win like this goes a lot of way. Everybody needs a confidence boost. Everybody needs to see a ball leave the park and a home run. That hadn't happened in 7 straight games. And, you know, they have young pitching, and Chad Patrick did a pretty nice job out there, and so did Woodford to close out the final 3 innings. So you're right. It's just a good all-around win.
I don't want to say, Craig, that guys, when we're talking about the offense, I don't want to say that guys were pressing, because I want to get your take. I didn't see guys pressing. I just saw a team that maybe because they're lacking the big pop, you know, the power bats. You know, you don't have a Yelich, you don't have a Vaughn, you don't have a Churio. So I don't know if guys were pressing to try to maybe do things that they're not used to doing, or I mean, I think it was just a funk for some guys that they just couldn't find that rhythm that you just talked about.
Yeah, I'm sure that's right, and you know, the team has said as much over the last couple of days that they're not pressing. But you know what, Bob? Everybody presses in life when their backs are against the wall for their jobs or positions. I'm not saying everybody was, but these guys are just as human and have the same human nature that we do. Everybody worries a little bit about some things, and that's okay. That's part of the test of baseball. That's why it's an everyday sport for 6 months, and they play 162 of these. And that's why at the end of the year, most divisions are tight, because everybody goes through things like this. So, and they're still battling through some injuries. I mean, there's some guys that are starting a lot of games and getting 4 at-bats a game that aren't used to doing this at this level. So we have to be realistic with everything too. So I think everything's a part of every live event that we cover, that we these guys play. And I just think a lot of that's just human nature. So,
well, and to your point, Craig, that, you know, because it's an everyday game and baseball, you just don't know. So you go into this game. We talked about the home run drought. The last home run before tonight was April 18th. Bryce Terang hit a 2-run homer against the Miami Marlins. on April 18th. So that was seven games without one. So then you're thinking, well, who's going to be the guy that gets him off the schneid, right? So it's Sal Frelick, of course. It's not even, you know, like a Jake Bowers or somebody that you know has, or like a Gary Sanchez off the bench. It's somebody that you know has that power inside. It's Frelick popping the home run. And then, of course, in the fourth inning today, who's driving in two key runs? It's Joey Ortiz, who was hitting 180. So when you talk about confidence, Craig, it's Frelick and Ortiz doing things that you don't expect them to do, but coming through when they get that opportunity. That both of those guys, those are things that go a long way in helping to get them perhaps revved up and accelerated.
You know, Sal has not had the start that he or anyone would have thought coming into this game, batting, you know, 198. But don't forget, this was his second home run of the season. His first one was the Brewers' first and the Brewers' first run of the season in the home opener. So,
right,
I'm sure he was fired up and ready to go for the opener, and I'm sure that we're seeing signs of more steps that this guy's taken to be a leader. I mean, if you're in his shoes, not a big home run hitter, and if you're really going to look for a pitch to hit out of the park and get your team going, you're doing that early in the game. And he led off the second inning and did that the rest of the game. You know, he drew a walk, scored another run, had a single, scored another run, got in on catcher's interference in that big sixth inning as well. So he did, after the home run, he did all the things that Sal does. He just hasn't done them a lot collectively in a one big game like we have seen tonight so far on the season. So that was great to see. And everybody knows Joey Ortiz is quite a glove out there at shortstop for the Brew Crew. And, man, if he can get himself, you know, some more opportunities to and come through, I should say, like he was able to in the fourth inning, you know, that'd be huge. It really would be nice to see Ortiz get going a little bit and be able to produce more offensively for this team. And who knows if tonight wasn't maybe that first step.
Yeah, and then with so many runs and so many hits and maybe lost in the shuffle because there was so much, how about Tyler Black coming through a couple times? You know, here's somebody who's gone back and forth and gets limited opportunity when he comes up with the big club. Again, confidence boost for a guy. He was on Team Canada in the World Baseball Classic, so he's trying to get himself figured out here. But, you know, again, that's a guy who you want to see him have games like this because perhaps it helps him get more comfortable because he's going back and forth trying to find that rhythm.
Yeah, I think, you know, when we saw his call-ups a year ago, I just really think we saw a guy that going back to your first question of the night, your statement that maybe he was definitely pressing at that point. He looks a lot more relaxed to me here right now. So one or two important people in this organization, no matter who they were, have been able to get to Tyler Black a little bit because, you know, even talking to him before games, he's a great guy, has a great disposition. But, you know, when the game starts, things change for everybody. And I think maybe some things got fast on him, you know, before this year and stuff. So it's good to see him have a game like this. He had three hits, scored a run, drove in a couple of runs as well. And if all these guys can just continue to, you know, scrape and claw and do, you know, some of those little things, that's awesome. And I also like the fact that there's an opportunity, a rare opportunity for somebody on this team other than Christian Yelich to play DH. And because he's injured, you know, a lot of guys are getting some extra opportunities here. And for whatever reason, Tyler Black in AAA and major leagues has kind of emerged as his best spot to DH, and maybe not having to play the field takes a little bit of off that edge off of, you know, added pressures as well. So you don't know, but everything that we saw tonight looked pretty darn good, that's for sure.
It sure did. 13-2 is the final score. Just getting started talking with Craig Kishon from Brewers TV, Bob Brainerd in for Dom on a Tuesday night. When we come back, we'll talk pitching. Chad Patrick set the table tonight for the Brewers on the Hill. More when we return to Brewers Extra Innings. Well, I'm going to read the copy, but I don't believe it. Spring is almost here, Wisconsin. For a limited time at Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical, get a free AC system with the purchase of a new gas furnace. Stay comfortable year-round, but hurry, spots are limited. Call today or visit them, Sider.com, to schedule your appointment. I don't know about you, Craig Kishon, but furnace on, furnace off, AC on, AC off. I mean, it's like, make up your mind, Wisconsin.
Oh, my God. Seriously, I love sleeping on a heated bed to go to night-night with Bobby. And it's been on even when it's 80, I think, because by nighttime it's 40. So
I know. There's a reason we live here. I'm not sure what that is yet. He is Craig Kishon. I'm Bob Brainerd. This is Brewers Extra Innings. Milwaukee beats Arizona. Game one of three here in Milwaukee. 13-2 is the final score. We touched on Chad Patrick. And kind of strange that his first hit that he gives up, Craig, I mean, he's got a no-hitter going until Arizona breaks through with that James McCann hit. That was the first hit of the ball game, and at the time, all of a sudden, you look up at the scoreboard and you go, oh my gosh, game on. It's 3-2 Brewers. But so Chad, he threw a lot of pitches, but he was getting a lot of outs despite some early traffic. So, I mean, in the end, he did his job to get them to that point until the offense could just, you know, erupt from there on.
Yeah, I think, you know, the walks killed him as far as pitch count goes. You know, the five strikeouts were season high for him. And I think from what we saw in the first four innings for sure, I think this was somewhat of at least a season breakout for him. Man, he was mixing everything, established that cutter really early, then mixed in, you know, the sinker and slurve. But, man, a career-high five walks to top it off. So he ends up with 98 pitches, 60 of those were strikes. But, I mean, if you're giving up five walks and you're getting five strikeouts, that is like half of your total loan rate there. So got to limit the walks. I mean, that's an easy one to attempt to fix anyway, but it's the easy top target here for him because, man, when he was on tonight, he was really on. I liked what I saw. It was a really good rebound from his last start. His last start, he just didn't look very good. He gave up, you know, those four runs in a little less than five innings, and he had a really nice bounce back game tonight.
Yeah, and the difference between Chad Patrick and Merrill Kelly, because Kelly was a victim of too many walks tonight as well. The difference, though, Craig, is that Chad was able to dance out of trouble for the most part when he walked guys. Merrill Kelly could not get out of trouble. I mean, he was flirting with it, and the Brewers finally made him pay.
Yeah, for sure. Patrick had some when the ball was put in play and he needed an out, he seemed to get it here tonight. His defense behind him played great. Frelick, we talked about his home run, but, you know, in that second inning, he also had that huge catch that was going down into the right field corner. And think about this. He makes that catch in the second inning, kind of saved that second because next batter up is turns into a double play, and then Sal comes up and hits the home run in the bottom of the second as well to lead things off. So he had some momentum and juice going there, so that was great to see. But plays like that, a double play was induced. They had a liner in the fifth inning that Terang caught for the first out after the bases were loaded because of the walks. And but you know what? Good pitchers don't fold. And I think to me, that's what I saw in that fifth inning. You're cruising. You got a no-hitter going. I know it's early to say that in the fifth inning, but you walk the bases loaded to start the inning. You get that big line out to Terang. Then you give up the base hit that gets the two runs, but you get the next two batters. So good for him to hang in there.
And I think, Craig, guys like Chad, guys like Sproat, who's going to get the ball tomorrow for Milwaukee in game two, every time they go out here, because, you know, lurking, and I say lurking because it's still going to be a while, but Quinn Priester, you know, there's chatter about him starting to, you know, get some activities going here. So it's still going to be a while, but when Quinn Priester comes back into the fold here, because of what he did last year, you got to assume that he's going to be back in part of this rotation. And then that means somebody's going to be the odd man out. So if you're a guy like Chad, if you're a guy like Sproat, you're kind of auditioning to keep your spot in rotation when and if the time comes that Priester needs to grab one of those spots.
Well, I think that the makeup of this staff, with its inexperience, of course, outside Brandon Woodruff, this is obviously a very inexperienced staff. It's a young staff. This is we're going to get established as a group together and be around here for several years. That's the good news. And right now, all signs indicate that all of these guys are going to continue to develop and improve in a really positive way. And all the guys that you're mentioning in right now are all part of that mix. And so this is, hopefully this is who we are going to see here for the next several years. And then there's some guys down at the minors that we're all well aware of right now. They're going to be pushing the button too. So these guys just need to keep going at the pace they are. It's in part of that too, Bob, kind of going off what you're saying, competition is good. And you just want this competition to stay healthy right now and get healthier, you know, as we go along throughout the summer.
And since we're talking young guys, Craig, I just want to get your thoughts on what Kyle Harrison did on Sunday. I mean, the 12 strikeouts, and he has just, again, you're not expecting these young guys to have any ceiling or have to live up to anything because they're going to have their ups and downs. But what an upside for Kyle to have on that game on Sunday.
Yeah, 12 strikeouts for him. He is developing fast, and he's making some nice steps. He has to continue to, at the very least, plateau and not dip back, not reach a point where he's going to, reach some blow-ups. It may happen, but I feel like his demeanor is so good here right now. Big lefty. This guy is big time. And if he can keep going like this and start delivering, you know, close to what we saw again, those are the strides he needs to continue to make. And he may turn out to be a big time leader of this pitching staff real soon.
Yeah, he's showing early flash and big time flash after that, what his effort on Sunday to close out that series. When we come back on Brewers Extra Innings, buying and selling with Craig Kishon, I'm going to throw a bunch of things at him. Buying or selling on Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Tony Wendorf & Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf & Associates. They're one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin. Powered by Keller Williams, they bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you, wendorfteam.kw.com. Bob Brainerd in for Dom on a Tuesday for Brewers Extra Innings. Milwaukee beats Arizona 13-2, joined by Craig Kishon from Brewers TV. All right, Craig, are you buying or selling the latest managerial changes for two teams that had bigger expectations? Let's start with the Phillies today because they made a managerial change. Phillies off to a terrible start. Rob Thompson given the boot. Don Mattingly, who was on the bench, going to step in. So are you buying or selling that the Phillies are dead, or will this fix things going forward?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think they have the worst record in the league here right now with the Mets going into tonight,
yeah,
if I'm not mistaken, which is,
yeah,
there is nobody that would have predicted that. So I'm buying what they've done. I get it. They're big time markets. They're big time money spent on the players. They were all hoping for bigger and better things. I think the Mets have a better chance at recovering. But it's still, I mean, my gosh, there's still 5 months left of the baseball season. So I get the argument of, do you do that this soon? But you know what? They're especially the Phillies right now, are they can't get out of their own way. And yeah, they're too talented for that. But they also have they also have more aging players that might be out of the twilights of their career. We'll see.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, there's just not the quick fix if you want to get this turned around. Those aging players, they have to show up, and they have to be the ones that get this turned around. By the way, I heard on the – it was actually the Arizona Diamondbacks radio broadcast listening into – and they were talking about this, and the general manager of the Phillies is Don Mattingly's son. So how about that? So, Dad,
that's a good one.
Maybe,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. But apparently, they're going to have some really interesting discussions going forward, aren't they?
Oh my gosh, that is that is a little nugget right there. That's a nugget to know for sure. We'll see.
Yeah,
I don't know if it'll go any further than what they've got going on. Maybe the agreement is interim manager, period. And you know what? I'd be okay with that.
Probably. You mentioned the Mets. So Carlos Mendoza has to be the next one on the hot seat because we've already lost the skipper with the Red Sox, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. Now the Phillies make a managerial change, but you mentioned the Mets and how disappointing they have been with the talent they have, the payroll that they have. So are you buying or selling or however you want to phrase it, Craig, are the Mets going to be the next one to make a managerial change?
You know what? I would think so at this point. If we're gonna see one fall, if part of the equation is we're gonna see one fall at some point this week, and they don't find themselves, I could almost see that happening for sure. They are just loaded with talent here right now. So unless David Stearns is really really patient, and I think that he is. I mean, we saw that here during his tenure, but I wouldn't be surprised at all. Again, you can't fall 10, 12, 13 games out of first place. Look, that division right now, I predicted the Braves would win that division, and last year was a fluke, and it sure looks like that is correct right now.
Yeah, the fact you combo that for the Phillies and the Mets, combo that with how well the Braves have gotten out of the gate here in this first month of the season, that's part of the equation here. That's part of the problem for both those clubs to say you have a big hole here because it's not like it's a Florida team that's leading the division that's really up for grabs. It's the Braves running away. Now, American League side, Craig. And Alex Cora got the boot from the Boston Red Sox. So, back to you. Are you buying or selling that this is going to be the salve that heals that wound and Boston figures things out?
No, I am not buying that. Mostly because I think the Red Sox have been assembled, if you will, in not a great fashion. And so I think their problems goes much deeper with decision makers than it does with what Alex Cora was doing. So I'm not sure they have an overly talented team at all here right now. So they've got more messes to clean up on aisle eight before too long.
All this being said, Craig Kishon, it makes you appreciate the stability, if you will, here in Milwaukee. Because here we got, you know, a manager of the year in Pat Murphy. Before that, say what you will about the last guy, but Craig, you know, Craig Counsell won a lot of games and got him to the postseason, and he was a stabilizing force. Now, he didn't get fired. So how far back are we going until the last Brewer manager got fired, right? Was it
Ron Renicke, wasn't it?
Ron Renicke, yeah.
And
Counsell took over for him. But
right.
it makes you appreciate here in Milwaukee, again, having stability, not only with a manager, but with a team that doesn't put that manager in harm's way like we're seeing in Boston, like we see in Philadelphia, and what we might see in New York eventually with the Mets.
Right. And, you know, this franchise has become an operation. It just has. And all 30 clubs will say, They have an operation, and they have somebody, you know, running the baseball side of the operation and somebody running the finance side. And of course, you all collaborate and come together, and you do all the things that you're, that the franchise believes in from the owner on down. And but look, we've been around this, you know, sports business way too long to know that doesn't work for every single team, and not just in baseball, but in all the other major sports, it's the same thing. So the Brewers have done such a wonderful job, and the bottom line is you have to have the right people in place that will do all of these things that are important and do them together, and not go off, you know, on the side and make some wild decisions or insist upon things or stir the pot. And everybody they've got here, we all know that's all very true. They've got a true corporation operation going from the top on down. And people ask me all the time, why is that? Well, it's because to me, it starts from the top all the way on down. Do they have the same kind of money to spend as the Dodgers do? We all know that they don't. Do they have the same as the Yankees do and all the other big markets? They do not. But they have done one of the best jobs I have ever seen for where they stand in line of making things happen and working every single year. If they this season has not started out the way anybody had designed it, but they won 8 of their first 10 games. And in the first month of the season alone, they have a 6-game losing streak and a 4-game losing streak, and they're still two mm-hmm. games above 500. So they figured out a way after that 6-gamer to cut it off. They figured out a better way after the 4-game losing streak to cut that off. And they're eking through some things right now, and until they get, you know, especially those offensive weapons back that have been missing really for either all year. In Churio and Vaughn or Yelly just, you know, barely 10 games into the season. So I'll take that lineup of those guys back in with the guys that can produce, you know, the rest of the way here.
Yep, help is on the way. Corporation operation. Craig Kishon coined it. You heard it here first on Brewers Extra Innings. Thank you, buddy boy. Always great chatting with you. Craig's back on the TV side tomorrow for Game 2 of this series, Diamondbacks and Brewers. Thanks, Craig.
You got it, Bobby. Great talking to you.
You as well. When we come back on Brewers Extra Innings, some highlights, some Murphy going through the highlights. Oh, all kinds of good positive vibes when we return. Milwaukee a winner over Arizona, 13-2 in game one of this 3-game set with the Snakes. Lots of highlights to talk about when it's 13-2, so let's get right to it.
Ready for this?
Out of here!
This?
Brought it back!
And this?
It is gone!
Time for tonight's highlights.
Well, there's been a lot of talk lately about the Brewers' power outage. The last 7 games they played, they didn't have a home run. The last home run hit was April 18th, Bryce Terang 2-run shot against the Miami Marlins. They came in with only 19 team home runs. That's tied for last with the Giants in all of baseball. Sal Frelick, though, second inning. Goodbye to all of that.
1-2, a fly ball. Deep right field. This one's back there. It is gone. Sal Frelick, his second home run of the season. The Brewers take a 1-0 lead.
An unlikely power source, but the Brewers will take it. Then in the fourth, an unlikely clutch hit off the bat of Joey Ortiz.
And now Joey stands in the pitch. Line drive center field, falling fast. Thomas has to play it on a hop. 2 runs will score Joey Ortiz. It's a 2-out, 2-run single here in the fourth inning. Lined into center field. What a big swing of the bat. Brewers lead it 3-0 in the fourth.
And they continued on in the fifth inning. Tyler Black called up to provide some offense. He comes through in the fifth.
Second and third and one away. Here's the pitch, and Black a line drive back up the middle into center field, a base hit. Contreras will score. Being waved around third is Terang. He will score. Tyler Black with one of his biggest hits as a Brewer. It's a 2-run single, and the Brewers get those 2 runs right back. It is 5-2 Milwaukee.
And then the sixth inning. Here come the highlights. It was an eight-run frame, starting off with Contreras getting it going.
First pitch to him. Here's a ground ball left side. That's going to sneak through and into left field. Hamilton is in. Around third is Ortiz. He's going to score. A two-run single for Wild Bill, and it is 8-2 Milwaukee.
Tyler Black's turn to follow up. He stays hot.
First offering. And Black, a broken bat flare into shallow center. It is dying quickly. It is dying quickly. It is down. Everybody moves up 90 feet. It's a broken bat. Texas leaguer into center field, and it's 9-2 Milwaukee.
He'll take it, and the Brewers will take it, but they weren't done yet. Jake Bauer's turn in the sixth.
2-2 pitch to Bowers, and a liner into right center field, down for a hit. Contreras is in. Terang's around third. He's going to score. They're going to hold Tyler Black at third. It's a two-run single for Jake Bowers. It is 11-2 Milwaukee.
And the merry-go-round ends with David Hamilton.
3-2 pitch. And Hamilton down the left field line. This has got to be a problem. It's down. And it bounces up and into the stands. So it'll be a double for Hamilton. Two runs will score, and it's 13-2 Brewers.
And that's how this one would end. In that sixth inning, 13 batters came to the plate, 8 hits, 8 runs, 1 walk. It was something to behold. Offensive explosion for Milwaukee tonight. 8-run frame, 13-2, the final score. When we come back, Murph was all smiles with that effort and the effort of Chad Patrick. Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings. Bob Brandt in for Dom on a Tuesday night here at the ballpark, American Family Field, where the Brewers beat the Arizona Diamondbacks 13-2, the final score. You can imagine when it's lopsided like that, Brewers skipper Pat Murphy had a lot of good things to talk about.
Player appearance, did you like the best?
Yeah, I always favored Joey Ortiz's first and second bunt, whatever. But no, I think we executed fine. There was some great, bats in that inning. That's staying relentless. You know, you give up two and then you come back. That's kind of the mentality you want. And these guys pull together and get themselves to first in all different ways. So I was really impressed with that. I thought Chad did a great job, guys. I mean, you walked the leadoff hitter 3 times. That's not great, but he gave us 100 pitches and gave up 1 hit or whatever he gave up. And it was a ground ball that a little bit to the right, it's a double play and not a fast runner. You know, Joey gets to the back end. I mean, it wouldn't, you know, it was a clear hit, but my point is, if it's a little bit over, you know, it's a double play and the kid gets through 5 with a no-hitter. So he did a lot of good things. Drohan was really impressive, in a tight ball game. And Woodford giving us – Woodford was 11 for 11, or was he 12 for 12? No, 11 for 11 first pitch strikes. So that's his best outing by far, and throwing consistent strikes. A lot of great performances. You got to go to William first and foremost. Terang came up big. Sal Frelick on track. You know, Hammy finding ways to help us win. So,
but you did tonight. We're explaining the way he's performed under this opportunity he's done the last few years.
Well, Tyler's getting comfortable. You know what I mean? He's getting himself, but he's got 5 hits and 4 of them aren't over 50 miles an hour. You know, so he's got 1 hard contact, and I think he's getting his. But I love it that he's getting hits because then the confidence rolls a little bit, and you know, and then he can settle in and realize he belongs.
Was that sixth inning the epitome of Brewers baseball? Did it feel like it even went?
Tell me what happened, because I tend to.
Well, you had a single, then a single, and then an error, and
the
catcher's
changed
to a single. There was a single in there.
What was changed? A single? Which one?
Yeah, Joey's was changed to a single.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair because it was a great bunt, and it would have been bang bang. I think.
7 singles and a walk to the first base batters, and then that catcher's
interference. And then a blue double.
And then a good double.
Yeah. What are you saying? That's the epitome that we're just.
I think, or is that even taking a step further?
You answer that. I don't want to answer that. We hit a homer tonight. Do you guys know that I ordered that? I asked Sal. Sal, would you do me a favor? Go ahead and homer to get these guys off my back. Ruthless guys. Yeah. A lot of good performances, a lot of good offensive at-bats. And, of course, Sal makes a great catch early in the game, saved a run. And, you know, he did it on both ends for us today.
I know it was before the big inning, but Joey's hit with two outs for him.
Huge. Yeah. Joey gives us everything he's got every time out. You know, like, you can get frustrated if you want, but he's really doing a great job.
See, as promised, Murph talking about the pitching coming through. Gave up just three base hit, two runs on three base hits. Hitting was obviously there. That even though he didn't want to answer it, atypical Brewers inning, that eight-run sixth inning, that was Brewer baseball on display as Milwaukee wins it 13-2. When we come back on Brewers Extra Innings, we will get the table set pitching-wise for game number two, Snakes and Brew Crew. Time to cap this one off on Brewers Extra Innings from American Family Field. It was a good one. Milwaukee wins 13-2 over the Arizona Diamondbacks. Game two is tomorrow evening, Wednesday evening at 6:40. The pregame show begins at 6 p.m. here on 620 WTMJ and the Brewers Network. Eduardo Rodriguez, 2-0, 2.89 ERA with 18 strikeouts going for the Diamondbacks. Brandon Sproat will go for Milwaukee. He's 0-1, 6.45, but he was pretty good his last time out with 20 Ks registered so far. That'll do it for me, Bob Brainerd, on a Tuesday night in for Dom. Want to thank Craig Gashan. Want to thank the man who presses all the buttons back at the studio, Matt Yezel. Thanks for dialing us in for Brewers Extra Innings, and good night, everybody.